If you are one of those people who believe that hard work and honesty alone will bring riches, perish of thought, because it's not true. No amount of reading or memorizing makes us successful. It's the understanding and application of wise thoughts that count. If it was the intellect that does it, our school system would be screaming successful. But we've got people graduating from universities all over the world. They've got an enormous amount of knowledge in their intellect, and yet they're losing. They're broke. They can't find work. So it's not your intellect. Intellectually, I've studied this long enough to know that if I can see it in my mind, I can do it. You see, an idea is a thought or a collection of thoughts directed towards a purpose. Most people would never do what they're doing if they're thinking. The thinking is not something everybody gets involved in. So you find a child by 5 years old, they're pretty well programmed for the rest of their life. I was, until I was 26, when Ray Stanford gave me this book, everything in my life changed. If a person has a goal of getting out of debt, they will probably stay in debt forever, because that's what you think about. And whenever you think about and get emotionally involved with, you're going to attract. You get on a frequency that it's on and you attract it. He said, the state of mind must be belief and not mere hope or wish. So then I think, well, how do you believe? Where do your beliefs come from? You just say, I believe. There's more to it than that. You're going to run into a brick wall, and everything in you is going to want to quit. That's what the paradigm does to you. Well, he points out here, he said, there may be no heroic connotation to the word persistence, but he said the quality is to the character of a person, like what carbon is to steel. In another part, he said, there is no substitute persistence. It cannot be supplanted by any other quality. And he said, remember this in the beginning, when the going gets tough. He said, those who have cultivated the habit of persistence, and all the way through, he brings up habit. Habit's very, very important. Well, he said, those who have cultivated the habit of persistence seem to enjoy insurance against failure. He said, no matter how many times they're defeated, they finally arrive up towards the top of the ladder. Sometimes it appears there is a hidden guide. Not sometimes, almost all the time it appears there's a hidden guide whose duty is to test you through all sorts of discouraging experiences. Those who pick themselves up after defeat and keep on going, the world cries, bravo, I knew you could do it. But he said this hidden guide lets no one enjoy great achievement without passing the persistence test. And he said those who can't take it simply don't make the grade. He said those who can take it are bountifully rewarded for their persistence. They receive as their compensation whatever goal they're pursuing. I was 26 years old. I'd been losing my entire life. And in 1961, I met a man by the name of Ray Stanford. You had to admire the guy. He was a good-looking guy. He was very successful. He always had money. And he was very happy. He got me to sit down and take a look at my results. He put a big R on a sheet of paper. And he said, Bob, let that represent the results that you're getting in your life. Then he put three letters down beside it, two H's and a W. And he said, let that represent happiness, health, and wealth. Now he said, I'm gonna ask you a question. He said, do you think I'm a happy guy? And I said, yeah, you seem pretty happy to me. He said, have you ever seen me when I was sick? And I had to admit I hadn't. He said, have you ever seen me when I was broke? Well, he said, you know, you've got to be one of the most miserable people I've ever met. And the guy was right on the money. I was an unhappy person. And he said, you're always sick. He said, you don't have a terminal illness or anything, but you've always got a headache, a cold or something. And he said, you're always broke. I was earning $4,000 a year and I owed six. I owed everybody that I knew money. He said, why don't you change? But you know, it never entered my mind that I could. I think I just got up and put in my day. And I think a lot of people live that way. And he said, do you ever read anything? And I said, no, I can't read. Now that wasn't true, I could, but not well. And he said, you know, the secret of the ages are locked up in books. If you do exactly what I tell you, you can have anything you want. Well, of course, I didn't believe that. I mean, I had never had what I wanted. And so when he said that, there's no way that I could believe it. But there was one key point. I believed he believed it. And for some strange reason, I think I locked into that. He gave me a book. He gave me this book, Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill. All I wanted was some money. I figured if I had some money, my whole world would change. And my first goal, where he put, he said, you've got to sit down and you've got to write your goal. You've got to write it on a card and you've got to carry the card in your pocket. I've been doing that now for 55 years. I wrote on the card that I was going to have $25,000 by New Year's Day of 1970. I really didn't believe it would happen. I gave myself almost a decade to do it. And, you know, the foundation of this is anything the mind can conceive and believe it can achieve. Well, I've altered that a bit for the start. I think anything the mind can conceive, if you think about it often enough, you will come to believe it. So you don't have to believe it to start off with, because I didn't believe it. And I'm speaking from experience here. I didn't believe I'd ever get the $25,000. I didn't even know anyone with $25,000. But I kept reading the book. Now, do you know, a strange thing happened. See, when you write something, writing causes thinking. Thinking creates an image. The image then is impregnated into cells in your brain. Our belief systems based upon our evaluation of something. And frequently, if you reevaluate a situation, your belief about that situation will change. And suddenly, I realized I'd figured it out. It had taken me 9.5 years from that day in London, trying to figure out why did I change. 9.5 years later in the restaurant, it dawned on me. My belief system had changed because I was reevaluating who I was. But you start studying this material, and I can assure you one thing, you will begin to think. And all the great leaders all down through history have been in complete and unanimous agreement on that one point, that you and I become what we think about. We are all the same. We look different. We sound different. But when you get past the culture, and culture is nothing but group habit, that's exactly what it is. When you get past the culture, we are all the same. There is one mind. There's not millions of minds. There is one. And we are an individualized expression of it. And when we tap into that universal mind, it operates by law. The idea must move into form. That's one of the first laws of the universe, the perpetual transmutation of energy. You see, studying Napoleon Hill got me to study the laws that this whole universe operates with. You understand that winter never follows winter. When the tide goes out, it always comes back in. We have to understand that whatever Rembrandt or Van Gogh used, we have available to us. We're God's highest form of creation. Spirit flows to and through us. It's our responsibility to decide what we're going to do with it. I think we've got an obligation to do great work. We're only here for a short time, not a long time. And we've got the faculties and the ability to do great work. I think we should.